Hallelujah. Amen. And I always say, Brother Pedro, I think maybe because I'm getting older, I'm getting more excited about Jesus. Hopefully, it ain't because I'm getting closer to the grave. I would hope so. Amen. Amen. You know how people they start get old and also they get real saved then. Amen. Amen. I would like to think that is not my motivation. Hey, Nicky Jack, the young folk ain't laughing. The young folk ain't laughing. They will though, Brother Bruno. They will. Amen. Keep on living. That's right. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask you to turn into your Bibles. 1 Chronicles 22nd chapter. No need to stand and read it because we've read it into your hearing already. I just want to really get into the Word of God itself on today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because we are still talking about leaving a godly legacy of faith. Leaving a godly legacy of faith. So 1 Chronicles 22, hopefully you earmarked that because you know we'll come back to that today. Amen. So I want to just kind of get into the Word and share just a couple of nuggets into your hearing for the importance of us leaving a legacy of faith. And on last week, we talked about, I gave you the definition of faith, and we even talked about, how faith is acting like, God is telling the truth. We talked about that 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter. Just thought we're going to be at the first verse, so y'all can get on over there. Last week, we talked about also how faith, is walked out, worked out, and worshiped out. We talked about how faith is walked out, worked out, and worshiped out. We talked about it being that action word. And then we even talked about how faith is taught, caught, and bought. And understanding, and actually David gives us plenty of examples of that. And understanding, y'all, that if you are saved, then, and I was sharing with the leaders on yesterday, that you do know that your faith is not a convenient faith. In other words, faith is not convenient. It's more of an inconvenience. What I mean by that, not in a bad way. What I mean by that, because you have to have faith to walk in what God has told you to walk in, even though you can't see it, you got to trust God in it. And it becomes a little bit inconvenient because you're not in control. And if you're like me, you like to be in control of things. And because you're not in control, it becomes a little inconvenience for you because you don't know where God is taking you. You just know that he's taking you wherever he wants you to go. Now, some of y'all might say, well, I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, keep on living. Keep on living. And keep really trying to build your relationship with the Lord. And you're going to see that it will be inconvenient. But the good thing, though, is even though it's inconvenient, the best thing about it is that you're walking with him in it and you're trusting him. Amen? Amen. So we talked about faith on last night. I tried to give you those definitions. And we tried to really, even understand the whole genealogy of David and who David was and where he came from and how he even arrived at this place right now in 1 Chronicles 22. And so now what I want to do is I want to actually get into the points that I couldn't get to yesterday, last week, because last week was just an introduction. Amen. And so as we look at this passage of scripture in 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter, as you look through the first to the fourth verse, we're talking about, the legacy of faith and understanding how important that is. And so understand that when we talk about faith, there's a few things that we must know about faith as you pass it on to your children and their children's children. I was talking to Brother Rodney this morning. I was saying that I thank God because of his grace that, I'm a grandfather now, Brother Brian. And so therefore, the mistakes I made as a father, I can kind of help, and pass on to my grandchildren now. And so God gave me the grace to get it right. Amen. Because we know as parents, we don't always get it right. But if you live long enough and you trust God in it and you begin to really, really follow hard after God, he gives you that chance to get it right, You know, then so now as Foster, that's my name. You know, I'm not Grandpa, I'm not Pops, I'm not Papa, Paw. I'm Foster. I'm Mufasa. And so because Foster now know how to really pass on to his grandchildren even the lessons learned while he was trying to also, you know, work with his children. So that's why it's important for us to be able to pass on this legacy of faith. Because as believers, especially as people of color, we had that foundation of faith that, to me, as I see this one man's opinion, I could be wrong, I doubt that I am, but when I look out around, the very thing that is missing right now is that we really don't have that foundation of faith like we used to have. And I'm not trying to be nostalgic in my thinking. What I'm trying to tell you is that there is a rupture in the foundation of the faith that was laid for you and I, that we are now no longer laying for those who are coming after us. Let's get real and transparent about it and understand that if we don't lay a firm foundation of faith for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they're going to be left swinging in the wind. They're going to be left swinging in the wind. I was reading some quotes from Spurgeon, and there was a quote that he said something about that the church, something about the church can no longer influence the world because the world has influenced the church. Yeah. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Wow. So I just want to share just, you know, my passion about and my burden about us being able to leave this legacy of faith. All right. Okay. And you say, well, why should we do that, you know? And why should we even know faith? As we look at the life of David, I'm going to show you just a few reasons. Just a few, not all of them, but just a few reasons why we need to understand, why we need to leave this legacy of faith. Are you ready? So let's get on to it. Chapter 22, verse 1 through 4. As I look at chapter 22, verse 1 through 4, the first thing I see is the reason why we must, you know, leave faith is that we must know that faith informs our obligation to work. Faith informs our obligation to work. Okay? And just write it down. Verse 1 through, look what it says. It says, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel. So David commanded to gather the aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he appointed masons to cut hewn stones. Then David prepared iron in abundance. Verse 4, and cedar trees in abundance. For the Sidonians, and then verse four says, and then those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. So when I look at this, what I see here is that David was informed about his obligation to work. What I mean by that, because David realized he had to go to work. David said, this is the house of the Lord God. He realized that I got to go to work. I got some work that I have. In other words, he says, I am obligated. I'm obligated to do this thing for God. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. He says, I'm obligated to go to work for God. How many of us can say that when we leave our house to go to work? How many of us understand that really is an obligation to God for us to go to work? Because he saved you and I to be that to be that picture at work where others can see who he is. Don't miss this. In other words, even though David was getting ready to build, his obligation was to build a house for God, that was his work. What is your work? What is your work? David realized that he was obligated. He had something he had to do. He knew that there was something that God had called him to do. Oh, y'all didn't like that because y'all looking at me a little bit funny. Because you do know that there is an obligation for you and I. Yeah. I don't care where you work. I don't care if you don't work. Well, I do care if you don't work. But I mean, but understand that your obligation is your work is really the work of salvation. Your work and my work is really the work of salvation. People get it wrong sometimes, Sister Michelle, when they think that the church, that they say that the church is called to evangelize. No, the church is actually called to disciple. And as those who are in the church are discipled, they are then called to go out and evangelize. And you don't evangelize just by your mouth. You must evangelize by your works and by your walk. That's where the work is. It just so happens that God says that you need to earn some money because you need to eat. So therefore, I'm going to give you a job so that you can go to work. How can I really explain that where y'all understand that your first line, your first duty to God is for you to go to work for him? It is not for you to get stuff from him. It is for you to go to work for him. Because we have been called to this work. Because if nobody goes and evangelizes, if no one from the church goes and evangelizes, if no one from the church goes and live their life according to how God has called them, as according to their obligation to their salvation, if nobody goes and do that, then how in the world can somebody get saved? Because the only entity that God has given in this world for people to get saved is through the church. So, yeah, you go to that 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 or whatever, whatever time you go. But it's not only so that you can make money. It is so that you can provide that testimony to those who know not God. What do you see that? Wait, I don't see that. Well, understand, when you look at verse 1, it says, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel. So David commanded to gather the people. He commanded. In other words, David knew that his obligation, even though as we get down, you're going to see some other things, but David knew that the house of God had to be built. What is your obligation? Your obligation is to win souls for Christ. Yeah. That's what you and I are obliged to do from God. Because if it was not, when you hear this all the time, if it wasn't, then when you got saved, when I got saved, we'd be transported to heaven right away. See, we were not saved just to go to heaven. We were saved to also bring heaven to earth. Through your and my lives, wherever we are, whatever door we walk through, you're obligated to be able to put God on display because of who God is. That's your work. That's your work. That's your work. That's my work. David's saying, hey, understand the legacy of faith you must believe is understand that your faith should inform your obligation to work. Because God has called you and I. He's called you and I to put him on display. That's your work. That's your obligation to God. It's a little quiet right now, Brother Rock. Oh, you just thought that, well, I'm good. I can just get saved and do what I want to do. See, you got to remember my mindset now, because I got a different mindset because I'm trying to strengthen those of you who still are here. Right. And you need to understand that when you leave these doors, there is an expectation that God has of each and every one of us. Yeah. And we must fulfill that expectation. Otherwise, we are accountable for that expectation not being filled and fulfilled. What's your work? Your work is salvation. Where? Wherever you are. You also know that your work of salvation is also in your family. I'm going to deal with that. I'm dealing in a couple of weeks, though. You know that's your obligation is your family. It's your ability to spread your faith, the faith that God has given you. Your faith should inform your obligation to work in your family. The reason why schools are the way they are is because we have forgotten our obligation to pour into our children the word of God. So therefore, when they don the doors of Racine Unified School District, then you expect the teachers to do what you're supposed to have done at home. And then you expect the police then to pull, you know, then you get mad at the police when they got to go and get your child. And then you expect the teachers to do what you don't do at home. Your obligation is to pour into your children at home. That's your work. But I'm going to get deeper into that as we talk about, you know, the family. But anyway, so that's the first point. That's the first point. I spent too much time on it. So faith informs our obligation to work. But guess what? Faith increases our observation of God's wonder. It increases. Faith increases God's, our obligation of God's wonder. Well, wait, you make yourself up, Pastor. I'm glad you said that, because look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, it says, now David says, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be what? Exceedingly magnificent. Exceedingly magnificent. Not just simply good. Exceedingly magnificent. Then he says, comma, famous and glorious throughout this country? Throughout all countries. Oh, man. So David realized that his faith in this God increased his observation of God's wonder. What am I talking about? In other words, whenever you get to the point where you are bigger than God, something is wrong with you. You should be able to walk in, you should be able to walk in life and be able to look at God's hand in creation. You should be able to see God in whatever you do. As a matter of fact, you should be awed at the wonder of God wherever you go and whatever you do. You should be able to see the mighty, magnificent, awful hand of God in creation. Y'all see this. If you don't, you're too busy. Because, and I look at, you know, once again, the older I get, the more, and the more I go to the doctor, and I look at how, and just look at how the human body is made. Y'all, you know, I was going to the chiropractor, Deacon Hawk, you know, because I'm getting old and we got to get my back cracked every now and then. But he showed me, Sister Michelle, he showed me where you have the nerve that go down here, and then you got some nerve that go up top there, and if one thing is off, like one, not even a centimeter, maybe the scintilla of a centimeter, how you get pain in your body that you never even seen. Why? Because God created the human body so magnificent and so balanced. How can you not have wonder about a God that creates you so balanced that when one little thing goes off, you're off? Come on, y'all see, they still not getting me, Sister Michelle. See, when I went to the war, and I was actually in Colorado, and I was on my way to Fort Carson, we came down this road, and all I saw in front of me, Brother Merle, was these huge, majestic mountains. And I looked at the mountains, and I began to wonder, what kind of God can make these majestic mountains like they were. As a matter of fact, I went up one of those mountains, and I was about maybe a few thousand feet, and it was, what, it was 80 degrees on the ground, but by the time I got to the mountain, and halfway up the mountain, it had changed from 80 to about maybe 60. And I'm like, what kind of God can do that? And what kind of God can put such a majestic picture in the place? And then I started thinking, then I came home, and then I looked at Lake Michigan. And I figured out, what kind of God can create something so beautiful and so majestic as the lake that I look at? And as a matter of fact, years ago, real quickly, I'm going to get off of this, we had some guys come over here from Africa, and we were down, and this was a chancery, and they were visiting, you know, students. And so they had got done preaching, and so we were down to the chancery having something to eat. And so we were down there, and so the one student, he was from Africa, he says, what ocean is that right there? And we busted out laughing. We're like, no, nah, brother, that's not an ocean. That's a lake. No. That's not a lake. Brother, that's a lake. That's Lake Michigan. He says, there is no lake that big. Brother, we took us 10 minutes to convince him that Lake Michigan was Lake Michigan. Why? Because of the awesome hand of God in creation. When you begin, I'm saying that your faith will increase your observation of God's wonder. What am I saying? That as you walk with God, God began to show you himself. And the more of him he shows you, the more wonder there is and the more glory that you have to come. So if you are still walking with God after 10 years and there has been no change, you might want to turn that walk in and get another walk. Because you can't tell me that you can walk with God for so long and there not be no wonder of God. And whenever you look out, when you look at yourself in the mirror. Your faith should increase the observation of God. When you get healed from something. And if you got nerve of the thing that you got through that and you was lucky, that means that your faith has not increased your observation of the wonder of God. David says, I got to build this house. It's got to be magnificent because I got this great God that's, you know, it's got I got to build it for. And so therefore, it's got to at least in my finite mind figure out how I can at least match it to who God is, knowing that you can't match it. But when he said, not just simply magnificent, exceedingly magnificent and famous and glorious, he says, throughout all. And my Bible says countries. Did your faith increase your observation of God's wonder? Because if your faith increases your observation of God's wonder, that means when you walk with God, you know how the old saints used to say that he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I'm his own. I'm telling you, man, I used to laugh at the kind of stuff because I'm like, what y'all talking about? What y'all talking about? But the more that he walks with me, Sister Lucy, and the more that he confirms in me that he's with me, I had an incident that happened this morning, and I realized that it was God who was with me, who was confirming some stuff in me that I really didn't understand. And I realized, man, that was number of God that confirmed some stuff that I otherwise was like kind of negative toward, you know, that happened. But when I saw how God worked that thing out and how God allowed me to see his power in the whole situation, man, who wouldn't serve a God like that? And that increased my observation of his wonder. Because now, guess what? I want to see more of him. Okay, I'm almost done. But so we must. This is how we as parents, as grandparents, you know, we must know that faith informs our obligation to work. It also, faith increases our observation of God's wonder. This is what you need to be passing on to your children. But then faith infuses our obedience to his word. Faith infused. You know what the term infuse means? It means to get in and get into the crevices and the cracks. Infused. I like that term, infuse. I like infused. Because when you infuse something, that means you get all in it. It can't get away from you. It becomes a part of you. Come on, man. Y'all like that term, infused? I need to get a different term. Our faith infuses our obedience to his word. Why? Because when we obey his word, understand, our faith causes us to literally surrender to his word. The more faith you have, the easier it is to obey his word. That's why it infuses your obedience, because when you do something and you see that God is true to his word, it's easier to do it again. Okay, let me see. I was watching this, you know, I like Facebook. Y'all know I like Facebook already. So I was scrolling through Facebook one day, and I saw where this man, he had his daughter, and he had his daughter on a stage on a dresser, and the dresser was about maybe 2-3 feet away from him, and so he'd tell the baby jump, and the baby, they get to the edge and they'd be like, I don't know, I ain't doing that. And then he said, come on I got you, jump. She'd edge up again. She'd be like, nah, but I ain't gonna do that. And so finally, he was like, come on, I got you. I got you. Jump. And so she edged up and she jumped. And then he caught her. And it was like, oh, okay. So put it back up there again. And then he said, jump. I got you. I got you. She edged up a little bit, edged back, edged up. And then she jumped. I got you. And then all of a sudden she said, well, wait a minute. So he put it back up there again. And before he even say jump, she jumped. What happened? Her faith increased. The more she saw, her father was going to catch her. Don't miss this. Her faith increased the more she saw her father going. In other words, she obeyed her daddy. And the more she obeyed her daddy, the greater faith that she had, because she knew that her daddy was not going to drop her. You got to teach your children that their daddy is not going to drop them. And the more they obey him, that the more that their faith increased, that's the more they obey him, the more they realize who he is. That's what happened here in verses 9 through 10. He said, behold, a son shall be born to the Lord. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. And he goes out through verse 10, and he said that he shall build a house for my name. So what David did is David obeyed the father. His obligation was to build a house, but it wasn't that he was going to build it with his hands. He was making preparations with his hands so his son could build it. So he obeyed his father, even though his obligation was to get the house built. He didn't do it, but his son did it. You're my obligation. Our faith must infuse our obedience to God's word. And you got to pass that on to your children and their children. You don't pass on what you think. And you don't pass on the latest philosophy and the latest psychology. You don't pass that stuff on. What you pass on is the word. Because his word at every turn will always usurp the word of man. You are obligated to do that. You're obligated to do that. I'm done with this last point. We must know faith informs our obligation to our work. We know that faith increases our observation of God's wonder. We know that faith infuses our obedience to his word. And last, you know, I can't leave. I'm getting like Elder Payne. Now I gotta go to this every time I'm preaching. The last one is this: faith influences our obeisance in worship. Obeisance, remember, obeisance, O-B-E-I-S-A-N-C-E, means to bow down, to surrender. That's what obeisance is. In worship. Well, you see that. I'm glad you asked that question. Look at verse 19. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go to verse 17, but verse 19 is what I want to hit on, and I'll be done. It says, David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? He building a case right now, y'all. For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Y'all see that right there? And look at verse 19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Oh, you missed that right there. See, David, he built a case first. He says, has not God done such and such? Has not God done this? Has not God done that? Have I not done what God has told me to do and have the land and subdued the land before me? So now it says all that has happened now, he says, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God, not God, to seek the Lord your God. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Bring in the ark and bring in the articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord. Man, David is like, he's saying, hey, I'm letting y'all know right now. He says, understand that faith influences your obeisance and worship. In other words, he says that understand this, that your faith has to influence how you worship. What David did in verses 17, 18 is he began to rehearse what God has done. He began to rehearse who God is. And before he told him what to do, he says, now know this is who he is. Now this is what he has done. Now understand, because of all that, now set your heart. Now set your heart and your soul to seek God. That's what worship is. All worship is your ability to go in the presence of God and seek God for yourself and to seek God as to who he is. It's not to go in the presence of God and ask God for anything. All it is that he says, seek God with your heart and with your soul. Don't go asking for nothing. All you want to do is just go into his presence. That's why I call it Elohistic worship. You must allow Elohim to inform and influence your emotion as opposed to your emotion informing and influence yourself about Elohim, because every time you get sad, you don't know who he is. Every time you get upset, you don't know who he is. So you have to allow Elohim to influence and inform you about who he is in your worship and let the emotion flow from it. That's why David says that my heart overflows with a good thing. Because I've been in the presence of God. I'm done. Faith must influence your surrender, your obeisance in worship. Because when you go into worship, you ought not come out the same. You've seen when they said Moses went into the presence of God and God's glory shone so much in Moses' face that he had to put a veil over his face. That's not made up stuff. That's the word of God. But your faith will influence that. And your faith is going to want you to go in more and more and more. And not because of what you can get from God, but because of who God is. You got to teach your children. You got to pour this into your children. If you don't do it, they're going to be left swinging in the wind. And when you're off the scene, that's what the word says. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. What do you think he's saying? He's saying you're going to provoke them to wrath if you don't teach them who God is. You and I, we got a job to do. We're losing our generations. We're losing them. And we're losing them because we think we're too smart and we're smarter than God. And we're trying to use everything else to help God out or leave God out. If you don't teach your children and leave a legacy of faith, God is going to hold you accountable. And your child's blood will be on your hands. And you will give an account for that. David gives us an example here, y'all. Legacy of faith. We're talking about legacy of family next week. Y'all be in prayer. That'd be in prayer.